With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial by Craig Parton.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
If you're just walking through the book of Acts there in the New Testament, you might notice something. It would be hard not to notice it. Almost at every turn, there are baptisms taking place from the very beginning of the book all the way to near the very end of the book. Baptism is a thread that runs through the book of Acts. Now, most people are going to read the book of Acts as a book about, what, preaching or evangelism, and it certainly is that. So what does baptism have to do with it, and why are there so many baptisms? Why, one of the most famous stories there in the book of Acts is the story of the Philippian jailer, who, thinking one moment he's going to have to commit suicide because he's allowed a jail full of men to escape, the next thing he knows, he's set free through baptism, not just him, but also his whole household. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, where Paul baptizes the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
This is just one of many baptisms that we find in the book of Acts. Why are there so many baptisms in this book?
Because once people hear about the message of Jesus Christ, it is not at all unusual that they would ask, well, what can we do now? In fact, the lesson we're going to be looking at with the jailer, that's exactly what he does. What can I do to be saved? But that also happened at Pentecost, when Peter gives a sermon and the people understand that they have killed the Messiah. The question they ask is, what can we do to be saved? And guess what the answer is? Baptism. It's not something they do. It is something done to them. It's kind of like an orphan asking, well, what can I do to be adopted? Well, frankly, there's nothing you can do to be adopted, but you can be adopted if someone makes a decision to adopt you. And that's why baptism is mentioned so many times. And Romans 6 has a lengthy discussion on how baptism transfers the benefits of Christ's cross to people today. How do I get on the cross? How do I have my sins? I'm buried with Christ in baptism. So baptism becomes a means of grace. It's the way that God transfers to you, for sure, the benefits of Christ's salvation. So no longer do you have to rely on your faith as to whether or not you're saved. You can now say, I am baptized, because that's God's method of adopting you. And we ought not be surprised then that it is found so many times after Pentecost.
This story occurs in the city of Philippi. How do Paul and Silas end up in their jail?
It's the work of the devil. It's like saying, how did Job come to a greater faith in God? If you read the book of Job, the answer is, it's the work of the devil. The devil is always being tricked by God. And so in the case of Job, he's saying, you know, Job's only worshiping you because you're so nice to him. Don't be so nice to him and you'll see him fall away. Well, instead, Job got a greater faith by the end of the book of Job. Here also, Paul and Silas are having a wonderful time doing ministry. They have had the conversion of Lydia. And as they are going to a place of prayer, this is Acts 16, verse 16, there's a slave girl who has a spirit of divination, and she can tell the future. And Paul and Silas, because she's following them around, you know, and the devil's trying to, you know, destroy their ministry. And it says in verse 18, she kept doing this for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, and so that's the devil within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. The owners of that girl have been making a lot of money with her spirit of being able to tell the future. And so they got so annoyed and angry that they stirred up the populace, and they ended up putting Paul and Silas in prison. And that's really where the Sunday school lesson kind of begins. But I would say this one thing. If you take a look, even at the Old Testament, the devil is often given power by God to do what we would consider to be miracles, such as telling the future. Deuteronomy 13 says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, now that's a miracle, and the sign or the wonder that he tells you comes to pass, in other words, it comes true, and then if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet, that dreamer of dreams. And so this is a great example from a law gospel point of view that a lot of people therefore put their trust in something because of their experience. And we need to realize that the devil can do all kinds of apparent miracles, but if we follow him when we hear his message is after other gods, then we become false prophets. So the devil, he can have miraculous power to tell the future, and it comes true. And I remember a layman once said that his faith would be destroyed if they found the bones of Jesus. Well, guess what? Someone who doesn't have his faith based on God's word, but on his experience, would say that. It doesn't matter what I experience. There is no experience I can ever have from the devil that will contradict the word of God. And that's why they're so angry at this woman. And that's why they end up in jail, which begins our Sunday school lesson.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. When we come back, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns. Why is that? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal at 618 618- 656-0043.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker, Paul baptizing the Philippian jailer and his household in Acts chapter 16. Tom, when we find Paul and Silas there in the Philippian jail, it's the middle of the night, and they are praying and singing hymns. What's that about?
That's probably one of the most important verses. In fact, in the lesson that we're given from CPH, it's the first verse of the Bible study. It's Acts 16, verse 25. Now, let me read it. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I think a lot of people miss that. You know, we've got some tremendous hymns, and I'm sure they did too at the time of Paul and Silas. In fact, there are some places in the Bible that scholars consider them to be hymns, and they're always all about Jesus. If they are listening to them, it ought not be a surprise that people come to faith from hearing hymns. I mean, try and go to something that Bach wrote. A symphony is playing it. There's singing going on in the background. Your heart leaps within you for joy, as it did the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so here they're in prison. And I'll tell you, the Sunday school lesson does a good job in describing the difference between Paul when he was a Pharisee. He enjoyed respect, authority, seats of high honor at meals, weddings, and other events. He was well paid, in general, quite comfortable. I think we forget about that. Then he became a believer in Jesus Christ. And as a consequence of loving Christ, his respect among Jewish religious leaders evaporated. He had to earn his living as a tent maker. He suffered ridicule, rejection, harassment, beatings, and, as we read in today's passage, imprisonment. I felt like I had never really thought about how different Saul was from Paul in his authority and reputation than after he had come to believe in Jesus Christ, because the witness of Jesus Christ results definitely in what Jesus says in John 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. And therefore we see that out of the self-interest of the owners of this slave girl who could tell the future, they got so angry and they ended up putting Paul and Silas in prison. And during this time, this is when they were singing hymns. And of course, there was a great earthquake also.
This is the kind of the general opening of all the doors and all the bonds fall off of all the prisoners. They are completely free to go, an act of God. What happens after that, Tom?
Well, if that happens, then the jailer who was responsible for keeping them in stocks, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And if they had been able to escape, guess what? He would have had to commit suicide because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, verse 28, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." And the jailer called for lights, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, asking, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Now, I'm sure the hymns had made a difference on him. He saw a faith in these men. They had talked about salvation, but he was ignorant about what he would have to do in order to be saved. And their answer is, once more, something he can't do. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, he does not say, "Okay, I'll do that." he can't make the choice. Decision theology is absolutely contrary to the Bible. Right after they tell him to believe in the Lord Jesus, they then use the means of grace so the Holy Spirit can create that faith. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And not only did the jailer wash their wounds and take care of them, but he was baptized at once, he and his whole family. In fact, that's very similar to the lesson or the passage just before us, the conversion of Lydia, because it says that she was baptized and her household as well. It certainly shows that there must have been some children in the household, and they too were baptized, and that's why we do infant baptism. And that's how the faith came to that man, hearing the hymns, wondering what he had to do, and then he's corrected. He doesn't have to do anything. Jesus Christ has done everything. And as the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit creates faith in the jailer, and he and his whole household are baptized.
This is an important connection, I think, to the Great Commission that comes at the end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus not only commands his disciples to go do this, but he promises them that he was going to be with them in all of this. Is this kind of a real life example of how Jesus is carrying out that Great Commission?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that could have been part of the answer of your first question. Why is baptism done so many times? It's because Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Now, that's the imperative. The rest of the sentence tells how to make disciples, and it's baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And when Jesus is asked, you know, what is the greatest good work we can do, his commandment is to believe in himself as the Messiah and receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins. So, good recollection of Matthew 28 to show why baptism becomes so important.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Our conversations are held weekly with him as we help you prepare for teaching Sunday school. A great source of instruction is Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Now, you can find out what this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum is all about by going first to our website. You can browse before you buy. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Growing in Christ. Or call Concordia Publishing House, and they will send you a free sample. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When we come back to those hymns and the prayers that Paul and Silas were saying, what did they likely say? What was their message to those around?
Whether you're a man yourself or a woman who cares about the men in your life, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Join John Kleinig, Hans Feeney, Jeffrey Hemmer, Broer Erickson, and others in this power-packed issue on men at church as they explore toxic masculinity, godly fatherhood, the religious gender gap, and more. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Paul baptizing the Philippian jailer and his family in Acts chapter 16. The hymns that we mentioned before, Tom, I'm wondering about, and maybe we simply speculate, but there must be something in the content of the hymns and the prayers that Paul and Silas were saying, because the jailer comes ready to receive salvation at the hand of Paul and Silas. The other inmates appear also to be in some, at least kind of a state of awe as to what is being said. Talk about what these hymns might have contained, maybe even the full message of salvation itself.
I do believe, and we have some individuals who have shown that there are parts of the Bible that are in hymnic form. For example, the sermon of Peter at Pentecost easily could have been a hymn, as it proclaims that this is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus is the Messiah. His death and resurrection were for us in order that we would get the forgiveness of sins. There are a number of passages in the Bible, but all of them that would have been hymns would have had at their core the message of Jesus Christ and Him alone, because He alone is the one who has saved us. Remember, God the Father is best known as Creator, the Holy Spirit is Sanctifier, but Jesus is the Redeemer. Apart from the work of Jesus, then the work of the Father would have dissipated, and the work of the Holy Spirit, there would have been nothing for him to do, because he does his work in sanctifying by having the message of Jesus Christ proclaimed, as Acts 10 says, and people come to faith by hearing the word of God.
Also, the fact that I think it's mentioned one, two, at least three times, it's Paul telling him that his entire household will be saved. Then we're told that he proclaims the word to him and his whole family. And then again, it's emphasized very at the end of this text that he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. We have often cited passages like this as Lutherans who believe in infant baptism as a sign that infant baptism is practiced from the very earliest times. Talk about that, Tom.
Yes, there are some scholars who know the Aramaic. One of them is Yaroslav, and he makes a point that when the Bible talks about the word nations or households, it's referring not just to adults, but even the children. In fact, when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem for the census also counted even the infants. So nowhere in the scriptures can you talk about the nation without including the infants. And when God says to make disciples of all nations, the infants must be included. In fact, in that one incident where Jesus takes the little children in his arms, blesses them, and talks about this is also the attitude of those who go to heaven, the word for child there can also be translated either as infant or a young child. It includes both. So Jesus had no problem holding infants and talking and blessing them, which meant that they were saved. And look at John the Baptizer. He wasn't even an infant in one sense. He was still within the womb. And yet, he came to faith. So this idea that infants can't believe, just ask any mother who's become a new mother within 2 or 3 weeks after the birth and ask her, does your child trust you? And she will say with a big yes, he or she does. So this idea that infants can have faith when that is a gift of the Holy Spirit is just contrary to not only the biblical evidence, but even the experience of new mothers.
The earthquake that opens the prison for Paul and Silas, it does eventually lead to their release, but there's kind of beyond the verses that we're studying for the Sunday school lesson, there is the end to the story in which the city officials who have wrongly imprisoned them want them released, but Paul says, you got to come in and escort us out. Tell us the rest of that story.
Yes. If you take a look at the beginning of the story, they even accuse these individuals, and this is verse 20, these men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. But then Paul says to them, after they are freed from prison, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. No, have them come and take us out. And when the police reported these to the magistrates, they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. And this verse 39 is amazing. So they came and apologized to Paul and Silas, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. And so they went out of the prison, they visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed and went on to Thessalonica. Talk about a reversal. This doesn't always happen to Christians who are persecuted, where they'll come and apologize. But in this particular case, God used the devil to not only get them arrested, put in prison, but to baptize an entire family, and who knows how many more prisoners came to faith, all because the work of the devil always is a failure.
So let's put this in terms for the children. Sometimes a story of, you know, an earthquake at midnight in a dark jail might be a little scary for Sunday school children. What's the message for them?
Yes, what I would do is talk to them. A lot of times children, if there's a thunderstorm and they're in a bedroom by themselves, they call for mommy or daddy to come and even sit with them, or maybe they go into their parents' bedroom and sleep with them that night. The point we would want to do, I would ask the children, are there times that you've been kind of afraid, either of a person or an incident or weather or this sort of thing? And then say, you know, God treats you the same way that he treated Paul and Silas, that he gave them the strength to even sing hymns in the midst of their having been beaten and imprisoned. And in their situation, everything worked out to the good, and God used it in order to bring even more people into the church. And that's a promise he's giving to you, that because of your baptism, and I would encourage churches to have baptism dates as well as birth dates, where we give the children in Sunday school a little gift on their baptism date, that baptism has a promise that all things will work together for your good, if not here on earth, certainly in heaven. And so there's no difference between how God is treating each one of you as he treated Paul and Silas.
You spoke earlier about a reversal, kind of in a human sense, that they are falsely accused, sent into prison, and then actually in the end exonerated and escorted out by the city officials who had imprisoned them. There's also a reversal here, a spiritual one, where Paul and Silas, although they're the ones who are locked in prison, are actually free. The jailer, who is an unbeliever, and we assume free to walk about, he's the one who is, in the end of the story, set free. Talk about that.
Yes. This reminds me of the crucifixion of Jesus. The soldiers and certainly the unbelieving Pharisees were applauding his crucifixion. But a reversal was taking place on that cross, of which they, most of them, were unaware of. Some of them did come to faith, as we know, namely Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. But the words from the cross, in the midst of the applause from the enemies of God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And particularly the phrase, "It is finished." That means I no longer need to do anything in order to be a part of the family of God. Jesus did it all on the cross. And for some reason, simply because I trust the promises connected to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God declares me righteous in his sight. Heaven is my home, and nothing will happen to me here on earth that God is not in charge of and working out for our good.
Finally, the law and gospel of this text for the kids.
Yes. It's really nice that the lessons always have a law and gospel. And the law that this one has, I really agree with. Because of sin, there is nothing I can do to earn salvation or come to God. And see, that was the question of the jailer. What must I do? The gospel is, God gives me and all people, young and old, the gift of baptism, through which he forgives sins and makes us his children. That law and gospel is not known to the vast majority of Americans in the United States. And we have a task, as Issues, etc., often does, in proclaiming a message that for many people who listen to it, it's brand new, and we pray that their hearts also will leap within them.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Learn more about Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
On the other side of the break, we are going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. The gospel that will be the centerpiece for all the propers we'll be looking at with Dr. Carl Kencher is Mark chapter 4, where Jesus walks on water.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.